Cairo, Seattle.
It's time to get schooled with a professor, John Clayton.
Welcome to Schooled with Your Professor. We are pleased to be joined by Steve Corcoran, who wrote an unbelievably great book that just hit the stands here in the last couple days, Al Davis, Behind the Raiders' Shield. And you've got to read this book because it basically captures one of the great characters, one of the great personas in sports history. And Steve, thanks for joining us here. And kind of go into what got you to do this book and how much cooperation you get in trying to capture Al Davis.
Yeah, well, the first part, I began to cover the Raiders full-time back in 97, and about 2000, I had this idea to do a season preview, so it was about August, mid-August, that where the paper I was at. I said, what if we get Bill Walsh and Al to sit down, and we can talk about where the game was when these guys entered the NFL, where it had gone and where it was headed. So I thought that the key was to get Bill on board first. I said, if I get Bill on board, then Al will follow. So the guy who was covering the 49ers at the time, I said, hey, can you ask Bill? He said, yeah. So I got word a couple days later, said, Bill can't wait to do it. So I went, oh my goodness. I said, this is going to be priceless. So I approached Al after practice one day up in Napa. I said, hey, look, I said, I have this idea to sit down with you and Bill Walsh, and kind of went through the whole thing. And Al said, no, I don't think that people care what I have to say. And I said, sir, I beg to differ. I said, people would love to hear what you have to say. And he wouldn't bite. And so I thought that was odd. And he paused and he said, but would you like to write a book with me in one of these years? I said, I would love to. And so I kind of processed that and said, I think he's just trying to get a reaction out of me. And I said, I don't think he's ever going to follow through. And so at that point, I began to ask myself, okay, if this never happens, and I didn't think it would, I said, how could I make that happen? So all of those years I was on the beat was that I began to file away stories, I begin to talk to people. But I said, I can only get so close to Al, which was worse than arm's length. I mean, he just wasn't going to let anybody in. And but I knew that if I could find the right people, I said that it would be phenomenal. And so I said, but I'm not going to be able to find those people as long as Al is alive and as long as he has the control of the Raiders or the people that I need are working at the Raiders. So, of course, Al passed away almost 6 years ago. And about a year or two after that, I got approached by Bruce Kebrick and John Kingdon. They said, would you like to write a book? I said, are you kidding me? I said, you are the two guys I had in mind. And so once I got past that, I said, the conversation ends here. If you guys don't agree to, all names have to be named. Everything has to be out there. I said, we have an opportunity, and if we're ever going to write something on Al, we owe it to the readers for it to be as complete of this man as possible. And they said, yes. I said, so everything I ask you, I said, I need you to answer. You need to let me decide what goes in. We'll all go over it. And they agreed. And that began the process. And so it was hundreds of hours of interviews and conversations and going over the things that these guys had witnessed. If you look at John Kingdon, he joined Al and the Raiders in 1978. That was John Madden's last year. So you can think of all of the history that he witnessed. Bruce Kebrick about a year before that. And Bruce Kebrick goes back even further with Al. Bruce was with the Oilers back in the 60s and into the 70s. So he had some conversations with Al in the 60s. And Bruce also worked with Sid Gilman. Sid is the one that hired Al and gave him his first job in the AFL. So the connections, I mean, I was able to take this back to 1960 is that we also have a chapter in there and a guy named Joe Madro, which even the most ardent fans haven't heard of him, or if they have heard of him, those people aren't aware that Joe was the one who helped Al get into the AFL. So what we were able to bring to the readers was it was perfect. I had full access. So all of these years later and a lot of hours and hard work, it came to fruition.
So now the big thing is, of course, these guys worked in personnel. They were involved in every big decision that Al was involved in as far as getting players. What are some of the defining stories that they tell you about through the years? You know, what was it like for Al? Because obviously he was bold. He tried to win. It was just win, baby. What are some of the bold things that came through the years?
Well, that's what I asked him. I said, if we want to make this book something unique, I said, there's a lot of books that attempted to write about Al and about a lot of things. I said, but our job is to, when the Raiders are trying to decide whether they pick Marcus Allen or Walter Abercrombie or Jamarcus Russell or Cal Johnson, I said, you guys were witness to a lot of unbelievable things. I said, our job is to place the reader at the draft table, sitting there listening to the conversations. What we're trying to accomplish here is that all those years that I covered the Raiders, and I was there for parts or all of 20 seasons since they came back to Oakland, as I said, that the thing that we always hear the most is, why? Or what in the hell was he thinking? How did that come about? I said, we can answer everything here. And so you have something like the Marcus Allen thing, is that back in 82 when he's coming out, you've got a perception that part of the issue, you know, that Al had with Marcus in latter years was that Marcus was never Al's guy. Quite the opposite. As we talked about in the book, the room is split, is that they, you know, Walt Scouse, Ron Wolf, all these people, half are for Marcus, half are for Walt Abercrombie. And the unbelievable thing, Al Davis is not even in the draft room. Al's in a courtroom. And so they say, uh-oh. They say, we have to get a hold of Al. So they get a hold of Al on not a cell phone, but one of whatever the phones of the time were. I'm sure it was, you know, one of those huge things that was the size of a boat or something. So they get a hold of Al, said, hey, we need you to break the tie here. Said, we aren't sure. And so Al said, wait, I've got to get a question answered. So he calls a guy that he had hired a couple years ago from USC to work in the legal department. And he calls up this guy and says, hey, look, says, I'm thinking about taking Marcus Allen. Said, but I have to know, can he block? He goes, you saw every single one of his games, USC. He goes, I need to know what this guy can block. And so he said, his best blocker I've ever seen. He goes, okay, fantastic. So Al calls back, says, take Marcus. And part of that was that also was that the Raiders had just moved to Los Angeles and were playing on grass. Marcus was going to be playing on the same field, so he liked that as well. But it just goes on. It goes on and on and on. If you look at the Marcus thing, we talked about in the book in a couple places, is that Marcus never would have become Raider, regardless of what they thought of him, if Al would have seen his 40 time. We all know that Al, speed, speed, speed. Marcus clocks at 4.75 in the 40. By the time it gets to Al's desk, it says Marcus is running 4.65. It's the only way that Al will even think about him. So there's all kinds of things like that. The you have... one of the amazing things is that both Bruce and John get calls from Al in 2001. Say, hey, look, would you trade Coach Gruden for two firsts, two seconds? And so what? John Kingdon says no. And so Al said, why? And he said, we're getting ready to win a Super Bowl here with this guy. And so Al says, yeah. He said, but I can get a lot for him. He goes, look, he goes, I would rather have the Super Bowl, and we might be able to change his mind in the next year. He goes, let's just see what happens. And so Al says, what if he goes to 49ers? And so then he calls up Bruce Kaepernick, and he asks him the same thing. Bruce goes, I would trade Vince Lombardi for that. But then later comes back and says, of course, I was wrong. I learned that when you have a coach like Gruden, you don't get rid of him. And so jumping off on a point like that is that we're able to bring in some other characters, and you bring in Warren Sapp. And we didn't introduce a lot of other people because I told you guys, I said, look, we can find 1,000 players that I covered and a lot of coaches and all that to weigh in. But I said, the only thing that we're looking for is people to fill in any details that you guys weren't privy to or that you weren't around. I said, we're not trying to find a guy who can say what you can say in a little better words or more eloquently or whatever. And so, but a guy like Sapp, I said, he's at the Buccaneers when a guy named Lane Kiffin first on the scene in 1996 or 7. I said, he's there when John Gruden arrives. Then he comes to the Raiders. Then he's at the Raiders. His last year as a player is Lane Kiffin's first year. And there's an unbelievable sequence, which, do you want me to get into that one?
Sure.
Real quick?
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Sapp's at the end of his career, and he knows them. So this is 2007, and Lane and Al are loggerheads, and they had been since the draft. But Lane wanted Calvin Johnson, Al wanted Jamarcus Russell, and Lane couldn't understand why he wasn't going to get his way. And you've got Kaepernick and Kingdon saying, look, Lane, you need to back off, is that you're not going to change his mind, and if you keep pushing, then he's going to pick whoever the heck he wants the rest of the draft, too. You have to back off, and then we might be able to get the players we want the rest of the draft. But anyhow, so things have gone awry, and it's a miserable year. And Lane is sniping at Al the whole time, and he's just complaining. And it's toward the end of the year there, and Sapp walks into Kiffin's office and says, do you have a couple minutes? And he says, yeah, sure. He says, look, I'm on my way out. He said, this is going to be my last year, and there's about a week left in season. He goes, but I just want to pass on some wisdom to you. And he goes, yeah, sure, Warren. He goes, all year you've been preaching, do what we do. Do what we do at practice and meetings and games on the sideline. And Lane goes, yeah. And Warren says, what the F is it that we do? And Lane pauses and says, lose. And Warren says, lose? He says, are you kidding me? He says, look, I'm going to be out of here in about a week. You have a career that's going to go on beyond this. He says, from now on, whenever you stand up in front of a bunch of men, when you say, do what we do, at least know what that is. And so it's really eye-opening because Warren actually liked Lane. So you have a lot of things like that that just go on and on and on. These guys saw everything. They were anytime there was a big decision to make, a coaching hire, a personnel thing.
So where did it go wrong from 2002 on? Because the Raiders had always been one of the teams that did so well in getting personnel, but then they have the long playoff drought that continued past 2002. What is it that Al did that went wrong? Do you have an adjustable rate mortgage that is about to increase? Or first and second mortgage that you would like to combine into one? Low mortgage payment? Hey, give Keel Mortgage a call today. They are local, friendly, and have been serving families up and down the West Coast for over 3 decades. With interest rates forecasted to rise, the best time to explore your options is now. It starts with a phone call to 1-888-778-KIEL or online at keelmortgage.com. That's Keel Mortgage, 888-778-KIEL. They can help. CL53969. What is it that Al did that went wrong?
Well, he did a lot of things then. Part of it was also the league, was that now you have the salary cap has been in for years, and he loses John Gruden. And as soon as Gruden leaves, the Raiders are able to ride the waves of that with Bill Callahan for 1 year. They get to the Super Bowl, have a crushing loss, as you know, because you and I were riding on the bus on the way back from the game. They have a crushing loss, and then Bill Callahan comes back the next year, and he wants to completely change the offense. There's a disconnect with he and the players. And then Al just begins to make a series of bad coaching hires, North Turner, Art Shell, Lane Kiffin. And so he can't get the good coaches to come out here. He begins to throw good money after bad after players that that aren't any good, that are past their prime, and it's guys who are just here to collect the paycheck. He signed, for instance, Javon Walker. He had wanted him coming out of college. He didn't get him, but now he's got a chance to get him 5-6 years into his career, but he's injured, disinterested, and he comes to Raiders and gets $15 million for 15 catches, I believe it was. Signs D'Angelo Hall, winds up paying him $8 million for 8 games, and then he has to cut him or trade him. And so it was a series of bad moves, and his health is failing, and he isn't listening as much. Still wants to be involved as much as he always was, and it was a series of bad moves, and it was the thing that we hit upon was that Gruden era is that it helped Al in that he had always wanted to, he didn't want to change, is that what worked in the 60s he thought could always work. It's like, I don't care what you're doing, be it the run and shoot, the spread, the option, whatever it is, the quarterback read, is that what I've always done, what I learned under Sid Gilman in the 60s, changed, tweaked it, that I want the deep threat, I want the quarterback with the big arm, I want the standout cornerbacks, I don't want to blitz, I want to be able to get to the quarterback with four guys. All of the things that Al loved, he kept trying to carry on. And when he got Gruden, is that he was able to stave off all of the people who were saying the game is passed out by, he's a relic, he's a dinosaur, he doesn't want to change, and he has to go, someone new has to come in. Is that it kind of breathed new life into Al, and it made him even more hesitant to give in, is that he gave in to Gruden a little bit in terms of the personnel and the offense. He allowed him run the West Coast offense, but still, he said, look, this is validation that this old man, all of these years, what has always worked will work, and it's going to keep working. So then he said, okay, I'm never going to change. And so the game did kind of pass him by.
Okay, kind of go through what made him so good back in the early days. What was so good about Al Davis that made him and have the Raiders at the top of the league?
Well, what was so good about him at the beginning was that he was shrewd. He was a workaholic. Is that he recognized talent from other teams that was back when the AFL and the NFL were competing against each other. He found a way to get players from one team to another. He gets Willie Brown, who was with the Broncos, and he winds up at the Raiders, and then he just gets a series of guys like that. He makes a trade for Daryl LaMonica from the Bills, and he comes over, and he's got the big arm, and he's able to put in place exactly what he always wanted, what he learned under Sid. And then in the 70s, it carries over, is that he's able to capitalize. He was on the leading edge of the movement to where he had this adage. He used to tell the scouts, he said, hey, look, he said, you don't want to be the first team to have a player in a lot of instances. So he said, I want you to be on the lookout. He said, we might not be able to draft this guy this year, But if he flames out, said that we have the notes, said now we get to sign him. The player isn't going to command first-round pick, a big signing bonus, any of that. Is that I want to bring in this player, and I want to see where it went wrong, because we also had him projected as first-round pick. And so he begins to bring in a lot of guys like that who are the cast-offs, who have a lot of issues, and he hits upon a lot of them. And there's so he has a lot of these players that don't work elsewhere and or who at the tail end of their careers thought to be washed up, brings in a Ted Hendricks, and he has him for 8 or 9 years, and he's part of 3 Super Bowl champions, John Matuszak, just on and on and on. And so that worked for a long time, and then as soon as he gets into the 80s, it begins to change. You know, his last Super Bowl, as it turned out, that they won was the 83 season. And we hit upon that a lot, how he was, you know, last 28 years of his life or so was that he so badly wanted to win another Super Bowl. And when they the Raiders lost to the Buccaneers, is that it crushed them. Is that, you know, he thought that they had that game and that that was kind of going to be the last part of his legacy that he cemented. But the thing about him also was that is that we tried showing there is that if people ask why and about a lot of things that he did toward the tail end of his life, is that we showed that he was ailing, he was sick, he was dying. And but even till the end, he wanted to attempt to do the same things he had always, you know, that he'd always done. That he didn't want to give in to death, to time, to, you know, the game changing, any of that. Is that his passion was such that even though he couldn't do all of the things that he did physically, is that he still made the attempt. And it's pretty remarkable, you know, that this guy was a. Even till the day he passed away on a Friday or Saturday morning, the Raiders were going to Houston, was that he had a conversation with John Kingdon before they got on the plane. And it, there was thought, Al was talking about, yeah, I don't think I'm going to head out with the team, but I might be there the next afternoon, was that he still was trying to find a way in those last days. So... amazing guy.
It really is. Al Davis, Behind the Raiders Shield. It's on Amazon, and where else can you get this?
It's on our website now called behindtheshield.net, and it's also on the Amazon. You can get it on Kindle ebook, and it'll be on audiobook soon, and it's in select Costco stores in the Bay Area.
Al Davis, Behind the Raiders Shield. Steve Corcoran, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, John. Thank you.
And that does it for this week's podcast. In between episodes, you can follow me on Twitter at ClaytonESPN. If you enjoy these weekly one-on-one conversations, consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Schooled with the Professor.